Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Tesvav. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have one of our special Shas Ozer features, topic headings with structural notes. You'll notice a nose, the topic heading, combined in one note with the mivneh, the structural note. A triangle appears on the side, and you see we've written shtei she'elois be'inyan kvias shvat kerosh Hashanah. There are two questions that are raised in the Gemara, and they're highlighted with these triangles, concerning establishing shvat as the new year for fruit trees. Of course, we are continuing with topics that we've discussed at great length in the last few dapim, so if some of these terms or concepts seem a little bit unfamiliar, by all means, learn the Gemaras from the last couple of dapim till this point to gain greater familiarity. Bal minei Rabbi Yochanan me Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan asks of Rabbi Yanai, Esroig, Rosh Hashanah Shiloi Emosai. What is the new year with regard to the Esrog fruit? Omar Le Shavat. So he says the new year is in the month of Shavat. He asks, Shavat de Chodoshim or Shavat de Tkufa? Shavat de Chodoshim simply means, is it the month of Shavat as you count on your calendar the months? Starting with Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, etc., you get to Teves, Shvat, Adar. So is it Shvat in the month counting? Oi, Shvat, Ditkufa. The term Tkufa is a reference to a season. A season is based on solar phenomenon, meaning the sun and its cycle is what establishes the seasons. There's something called a Tkufas Teves, roughly translated into the winter season. So Tkufas Teves, when it starts, it's expected, it lasts, every Tkufa lasts 91 and a fraction days. So is Shvat a reference to that period of time that sets in 30 days after the Tkufas Teves began? That point in time might correspond exactly to the month of Shvat on the calendar, the 30 days allotted to the month of Shvat, or Tkufas, the Shvat of the Tkufa could be maybe a couple weeks early, a couple weeks later. That is an issue in terms of how you set up the calendar. It's a little bit more complicated than what we'll get into right now. But it is, as we said, 30 days after the winter season kicks in. Omar Lei, so the answer is forthcoming from Rav Yanai. He says, the Chodoshim, the Shvat that we observe as the new year, where there's a year changeover with regard to the Esrog, is in the month of Shvat as we celebrate Shvat on the calendar, as we observe it on the calendar, and we don't tie it, we don't associate Shvat with, in this case, with the Tkufa. Bomine Rava me Rav Nachman. Rava asks of Rav Nachman v'Amri lo, another version name-wise, Rav Yochanan v'Rav Yanai. Just like the question before, we saw Rav Yochanan was asking Rav Yanai, so some versions have this question the same way. Hoysa shana mu'uberes mahu. What happens with regard to establishing the new year, the Shvat new year for the Esrog in the event that you have a leap year. What's a leap year? So a leap year is a year that's extended by 1 month, and when we extend the year, we add an additional Adar. So instead of having the months Shvat, Adar, Nisan, you have Shvat, Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, and then Nisan. In general, after the month of Tebes, you have Shvat. So Shvat can be viewed as the month right after Tebes. But Shvat could also be viewed as 2 months before Nisan. Because in a regular sequence of months, you have Shvat, Adar, Nisan. So between Shvat and Nisan, you have a month between them. So in a leap year, that would come out as follows. Adar Aleph, the first Adar, would be the equivalent of Shvat, because Adar Aleph is in fact 2 months before Nisan. You have Adar Aleph followed by Adar Beis and then Nisan. So which is the new year, the month constituting the new year for the Esrog in the case of a leap year? Omar Lei, so he answers, Haloch Achar Roiv Shonim. Follow the majority of years. In the majority of years, the month that's name is Shvat is the month that represents the Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog. So that even in a leap year, Shvat remains Shvat for this purpose. And of course, we don't look at Adar Aleph as a Shvat replacement. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. On the side, Rabba and Rav Hamnuna, they are featured in diamonds. So you see Rabba here, and a number of lines later, another diamond should stand out, and that highlights Rav Hamnuna. These opinions are donim be'esrog. They deal with an esrog, two cases, bas shishis nifnisa lishvias, an esrog that blossoms in the sixth year, and you'll eventually pick it in the seventh year, a Shemitah year. And you'll have bas shvias nifnisa lishminis, an esrog that blossoms in the seventh year during the Shemitah year, and it's picked in the eighth year. The eighth year is the first year of a new sabbatical cycle. Eighth year is also referred to as year one, because you're dealing with a cycle. It's a seven-year cycle, so the year after Shvias is the new cycle. However, it's referred to at times in the Gemara also as year eight. Now, these two scenarios that we just highlighted with Aleph and Beis are relevant legabi maestros, the issue of tithing. Naturally, in a seventh year, everything is unowned. All of one's properties are unowned in the seventh year. So there's no tithing of produce, of seventh year produce. The question that we will be dealing with is, how do you classify the esrog? Is it a true seventh year esrog or not? Do we look at the time it blossoms, or the time that you pick it? So we have to analyze this in terms of Maestros, is there going to be tithing? Bior, Chiyuv Shechal Al Peros Shvias. Bior literally means the ridding of, the destruction of. This concept of getting rid of fruits applies to the seventh year. Fruits that are Shemitah fruits that are fruits and vegetables and grains that are associated with the Shemitah year, but are considered having Kedusha Shvias, at the point that they are out of season, that they're no longer growing in the fields, that wild animals would no longer have access to them, at that point in time that they're no longer in season, if you have any in storage, if you have any in your house, you have to get rid of them. And that's based on a posuk. That's Bior, getting rid of them. And that idea, as we said, applies to Shemitah year fruits. And we're going to look at these cases of Esrog. Does the din of Biur apply to case Aleph, case Beis, by Hemshech? And they can, as the Gemara goes on, HaGemara Mevi'a Braisa Shekosha Laihu. The Gemara will present a Tanaic source that poses a question, a couple questions on Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna. Umitaretzes de Tanoihin. The Gemara, by the time that we get till the fifth line from the end of the Omid, the Gemara, after presenting these questions, will say that the issue is a machloikis tanoim, and that Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna have on whom to rely. That discussion will take us, Gemara-wise, till the fourth line from the top of Omid Beis. Now, hopefully, things have been mapped out. Let's get into the Gemara. Omar Rabbah, Esrog, Bas Shishis Shenichnasa L'Shvias, an Esrog that blossomed in the sixth year, and it enters the seventh year, it's eventually picked in the seventh year, Ptura Min HaMaiser, Uptura Min HaBior. This needs explanation. We'll continue a few lines of Gemara, and then as the Gemara unfolds, it will relate to these sources. So, having translated, this is enough for right this moment. We just then mentioned that a sixth year into seventh year experiences this double exemption. Exempt from Miser, from the need to tithe, which would lead you to think that it's a seventh year Esrog. And it says it's exempt from Biur, which almost is a contradictory idea. It would seem to suggest that it's a sixth year Esrog. As we said, that needs explanation. Beis, Ubas Shvias Shenichnasa L'Shminas, a seventh year blossoming Esrog that is picked in the eighth year, Ptura B'Maiser V'Chayeves B'Biur. It's exempt from Maisras, which would lead you to think that it's a seventh year Esrog, and yet it says it's Chayeves B'Biur, it must be destroyed, sounding that it's not a seventh year Esrog. We said Biur applies only to seventh year produce. Omar le Abaye. Upon hearing Rabbah's teaching, Abaye reacts. He says, Bishlamos Seifa, the seventh into eighth case, Lechumra. That he demands Biur for it is actually a stringency. And as such, because of this, we'll say this stringency, he's obligated to get rid of them, of their produce, when it's no longer in season. We look at the Rashi. Rashi is quite elaborate over here, but he has a lot of important information. So we look at the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Omar le Abaye, Bishlamos Seifa, De Koamris, Bas Shvir Shenichnasa L'Shminas, Ptura Min HaMaiser, that you rule that it's exempt from Maiser, Almo Noago Bokidush Shvias. It shows that it's really a Shvias fruit. Umechayev Lafkura, and you have to declare it unowned. You cannot claim it for yourself. You cannot watch it, keep it fenced in, guarded, etc. You have to declare it unowned. Hefkera Ptura Mimaiser. And Hefker, something that's unowned, is exempt from Maiser. Demashma De Ozlas Bo Boser Chanota Linyan Hefker Shvias. This shows us, it implies that in order to establish its identity with regard to Shvias, we look at when it blossoms. When did it blossom? In the seventh year. So it gains the sanctity of the seventh year, and you have to declare it unowned. Uleinyan and Uleinyan Biur Nami Kidiku Amris Chayovim B'Biur, and that you expect it to be destroyed. That's also a Shvias phenomenon. So that the fact that in Halacha Beis of Rabbah, we see this seventh year going into eighth year exempt from Meiser, that is indicative of it being unowned. That indicates it's a Shvius fruit. And that's because it blossomed in the Shvius year. That it's obligated in Bior, that's also Shvius related. We're looking at the time it blossoms. So Halacha Beis has no difficulties. It's clearly a Shvius ruling. It's clearly a way of saying that we go Boser Chanota. We look at the time that it blossoms. So we continue in the Rashi. Kol Hach Seifa, Afalgav, the Sosul Resha. This Seifa, even though it contradicts the Resha, the Aleph Halacha, the Koamris in the Resha Halacha, we said Bas Shishis Shenichnas L'Shvius Ptura Min HaMeiser, that it's exempt from Meiser. It's again sixth year going into seventh year, and you're exempting it from Meiser. The Hefkerhu Mishum Shvius. Why is it exempt from Meiser? Because it's unknown, and that's a Shvius phenomenon. Well, but it's a sixth year going into seventh year fruit. Alma Bosur Likito Azlaba in the Indian Shvius. Well, if you're going to look at Halacha Aleph on its own terms, it would seem, as we said, that's contradictory, because here we're looking at the time that you pick it. The Ilav, the Shvius Noagaba, Lohava Hefker, Lohava Miftara, if Shvius wasn't applicable to it, so it wouldn't be exempt. The Hefkera de Shvius Potar Lo Mi Meiser. It's the Hefker phenomenon, the unowned phenomenon that exempts it from Meiser. Kidasan Bechilta. The Brisa in the Medrash on Sefer Shmos says, V'ochlu Avyonei Amecha V'Yisraim Tochal Chayas HaSadeh. That's a pasuk from the Chumash. Ma Chaya just like wild animals eat and are exempt from tithing, so to a person during the Shemitah year is exempt. This problem of the Seifa and Resha contradicting one another wouldn't pose a problem for me. Kemo b'meiser. As far as the Shvius halacha per se, which has the biur ramifications, or which has the, we'll say the, let's say the meiser exemption ramifications, this these halachas here, aleph and beis, even though they appear contradictory, wouldn't bother me, says Abaye, and this is and kemo b'meiser. The Aslas L'chumra, and you simply take the stringent approach. Do we look at the picking time, or do we look at the blossoming time? And we're going to, whichever way will lead us to view it as a Shemitah fruit, we will follow that. Because Shvius D'oraisahi, Usveka D'oraisa L'chumra, Shvius is a Torah based halacha, and when it comes to Torah based halachas, so we adopt the more stringent approach. So with the case of the 6th going to 7th, regarding the we saw in Rabbah's ruling that it was exempt from Meiser, because we were looking at it in terms of the time of picking, the Lakita. In the Beis halacha of Rabbah, when you're going from 7th into 8th and you said it's exempt from Meiser, that's because we were looking at it in terms of the blossoming time. So as far as exemption from Meiser, which is a function of Hefker, so we were taking the more stringent approach in viewing both cases as a Shemitah fruit, which is, as we said, that's a stringency. To view something as a Shemitah fruit and view it as being unowned, that is a stringency. That's as far as the Abaye's satisfaction with the seeming contradiction regarding the Hefker exemption. Elo Reisha, the Reisha case, in this case of the sixth going into the seventh, Ptura min habior. Amai, why would you say sixth going into seventh is exempt from biur? The amrinon zeal bosar chanota, because you're saying it's really a sixth year fruit, and you're viewing it as per the time it blossoms. So in the case of sixth going into seventh, the point that it's exempt from Bior is a function of looking at the time that it blossoms. Blossom in the sixth year, so you don't have to get rid of it. Ihochi, well, if sixth going into seventh is based on when it blossoms, t'chayev b'meiser, so it should be obligated in being tithed. Why, in that very case, do you say that it is potter from meiser? Let us continue with the Rashi that we left off with. Elo Reisha, the Simis Ba, that you ended off the Reisha case, the Aleph case, by saying Ptura min Abiur, the Kula Hu, that is a leniency by not obligating you to get rid of the fruits, so you are being lenient. Amai, the Amrinon Zil Basar Chanota. In order to say an exemption from Biur, it must be that you're definitively going according to the blossoming time, in that case of 6th into 7th. Ashmin in lon ba delo misafgaloch. By issuing a leniency, then you're showing us that you have no doubt. Maskona de resha, the end of the resha, the kula sefer chataimahu. Then the end of the resha, namely the exemption of from the biur in the sixth into seventh year, and the whole sefer seventh into eighth year is based on one reasoning, one point of law. The pshita loch the baser chanata azlinon, that you follow the time that it blossoms. And as we said before, when you're going from 7th into 8th, we saw exemption from Meiser and obligation to Bior. That was clearly a manifestation of basing yourself on blossom time. Ihochi, de lo misafka, if that be the case, then that you don't have any doubts, the lo noago shvius be'esrog bas shishis, and you're not applying the rules of Shemitah to the 8th, to the 6th into 7th case, as we saw by exempting it from Biur, so then Tischayev b'meiser, delav hefkerhu, then you should obligate it in Meiser. So far, if we can summarize what Rashi has been saying, as far as Abaye is concerned, he's saying that if the only issue was the question of looking at the miser aspect of things, then the fact that in 6th going into 7th, we would have exempted from miser, and 7th into 8th also exempted from miser, that would have been the outgrowth of looking at things l'chumra, bosar, l'kita, and bosar, Chanota, as long as it led it to being a Shemitah item. My understanding is that would be a function of a Chumrah. However, in case Aleph, the second that you say that it's potter from Bior, that the sixth going into the seventh is exempt from Bior, that's a kula. That is a leniency. And in order to issue a leniency, especially concerning a Shemitah halacha, that shows that you don't have any doubt about how to classify the fruits, but rather it's clear in your mind that you go based on Chanota. And if it's clear in your mind that you go based on Chanota, then in that very case of 6th going into 7th, it should have been obligated in Meiser, because Chanota is the blossoming time, and it blossomed in the 6th year, and the 6th year is a time that you have to take care of your tithes. We continue back in the Gemara. Omar Lay, Rabo answers. You want, in the case of 6th going into 7th, that those esrogim should be tithed? Yad hakol mimashmishin ba. On the 7th year, granted that technically speaking it blossomed in the 6th year, but all the produce around, the other trees that are growing and the other items that are growing, are all hefker. Hefker means the masses can enter your field and take whatever they want, and they're going to go to your esrog trees, and you're not going to be, no one puts fences just around the esrog trees, setting them off from all the rest. People are going to be handling them. In other words, on a practical level, on a metzius level, people are going to be handling your esrog tree, everyone. And they're going to be picking from it. So that de facto, your esrog tree is hefker. Not in terms of Dine Shvius, where the Almighty declares it unowned, the Torah declares it unowned, but rather because of the masses being there, it's going to be, in effect, de facto, unowned. So it's Hefker. Fiat Amris Techayev B'Meisr, and you're expecting me to tithe from something that's unowned? Hefker, we know in general, something that's been formally declared unowned, is exempt from tithes. This is de facto unowned. So it's therefore something that we can say with a full heart and a sound conscience that it's exempt from tithing. We continue in the Gemara. V'Rav Hamnuna Omar, Bashishis Shenifnasa L'Shvias L'Oilom Shishis. 6th year going into 7th year is treated as shishis, and that means it would be chayev in meisers. Rav Hamnuna is not impressed with the svara of Yad HaKol Mimash Mishin Ba. This is not hefker. This de facto hefker is not hefker. It's not something that the Almighty declared, and the owner didn't formally declare it unowned. So it's not hefker. So it's a 6th year fruit, and therefore it's chayev in meisers, and it's exempt from bior. Ubas shvius anichneses l'shminis l'oilom shvius. 7th year going into 8th year is a Shemitah fruit, and therefore it will be exempt from Maisris because it's unowned by virtue of the Torah's declaring it unowned, and it's chayev in Bior, and it has to be eliminated because it's a Shemitah item. Rav Hamnuna then would appear to be fairly straightforward, look at when the item blossomed. Mesvei. We present a Tanaic source, which constitutes a long question. Following the long question, we're going to note that the Reisha, the beginning part of this source, is a problem for Rav Hamnuna. And the Seifa of this source is a kasha on both Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. So now let's see the source. Our hope is that through the markings we'll be able to navigate rather easily, because the cases we've underlined with a solid underline, the case of Bashishis Nichneses L'Shvias and Bashishis Nichneses L'Shminas, we've done that in this Tanaic source, we've done that for Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. So what you have to do is simply allow your finger to slide along the page and compare the information you see in this Tanaic source and how does it rate or how does it compare with the information or the ruling of Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. So Mesvei, we raise an objection. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. The following is taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Esrog bas shishis shenichneses l'shvias. The case of the 6th year blossomer and picked in the 7th year, the case of the esrog, p'tura min ha-meiser u p'tura min ha-bior. this ruling, this double p'tur, as far as 6th into 7th, is not like Rav Hamnuna. Look at Rav Hamnuna's 6th into 7th case. He said, Le'olam Shishas, and we wrote in between the lines to make things much easier. He said, Chayev in Maiser and Potter Mibir. So you have Chayev Potter, and here you have Potter Potter. So this is not like Rav Hamnuna. It, by the way, is no problem for Rabba, because Rabba, in the case of 6th into 7th, you can just go back to Rabba's 6th into 7th, and there you see Potter Potter. The source goes on. Why is it Potter Potter? Potter from Meiser and Potter from Beer. She'ein l'cho davar she'chayav b'meiser, Elim kein goda b'chiyuv v'nilkat b'chiyuv. You won't see something being obligated in tithes unless it grew in a state of tithe obligation, at the time of tithe obligation, and picked in the time of tithe obligation. In this case, it wasn't picked in the time of tithe obligation, it was picked in the 7th year. So, therefore, it's potter from Maestris. Ubas Shvius Shinifneses Lishminis, the 7th year going into 8th year case, Ptura min ha-maiser, uptura min ha-biur. Now, as far as it's being potter from maiser, we just explained. The only time something is chayav in maiseris is that it grows while at a time of obligation and is picked. In this case, it didn't grow. It grew at the time of obligation. It grew during the Shemitah year. So that's understandable as far as the sources concern. Potter min ha-maiser. It also says here, Ptura min ha-biur, that 7th going to the 8th, no biur requirement. She'ein l'chodover she'chayv b'biur, elim kein godol b'shvias, v'nilkat b'shvias. And this wasn't picked in the shvias. It grew in the shvias, but it wasn't picked in the shvias. So it's, this case is exempt from biur. Now we note ahead of time that this point, we have a little star, that this Ptura min ha-biur, in the case of 7th going to 8th, is something that's not like Rabba nor like Rav Hamnuna. According to both of them, 7th going into the 8th was Chayev in Bior. Reisha Kashya l'Rav Hamnuna. This we pointed out earlier. The Reisha of this Tanaic source, which said that the Bas Shishis Nichneses L'Shvius is Potter from Meiser, is not like Rav Hamnuna. Seifa Kashya Bein L'Rabba Bein L'Rav Hamnuna. The Seifa of this source, which exempted from Bior in the case of Shvius Nichneses L'Shminis, is unlike both Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. So we have a Tanaic source that poses a problem for the Amoraim above. What are we to do? The Gemara answers, Tanoihi. The issue is a Machloikis Tanoim. The Tana we saw is unlike Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. Shortly, we will see a Tana that is like them, upon whom they can rely. Once again, they said that a Shvius going into Shminis is obligated in being destroyed in Bior. We read a source, toward the beginning of this source there's a bracketed section, and that's because the language in it requires upgrading, which takes place at the top of Omid Beis, right after the bracketed section. So, in our initial read-through, we'll skip the brackets and pick up with that later. Desanya. So the Gemara continues after saying that the issue at hand is a machlokas tanoim, the Tano that we saw already, which in Shvius Nichneses L'Shminis exempted from Bior, is against Rabba and Rav Hamnuna, and here we have a source to support them. The Sanya, Omar Rebbe Yossi. Rabbi Yossi tells us that Avtumus Heid Mishum Chamisha Zekenim. Avtumus, the name of a individual, he testified in the name of five sages. Now we skip to the top of Omid Beis. Use your bracket length indicator. Takes you to the top line. And he said in their name, Esrog Achar Lekitosoi Lemaiser. And Esrog, in order to determine the year of its tithing, so you look at the time that it's picked. The Achar Chanoto Lishvias. And in order to determine whether it's a Shvias Esrog or not, you would look at the time that it blossoms. So that in the case of a seventh into eighth year situation, it blossomed in the seventh year. Being that it blossomed in the seventh year, so it's going to be potter from Maisris, and it'll be Chayev in Bior. And that, in fact, is what Rabba and Rav Hamnuna had said, that it's exempt from Maisris and Chayev in Bior. V'rabosenu nimnu be'usha v'gomru, the sages voted in Usha. What's the name of a community in which the Sanhedrin had been seated for a while, and they resolved Achar Lekitosai Bein Lemaiser Bein Lishvias, as far as determining the rules of Maiser and Shvias, you look at the time that it's picked. We now turn to Rashi, who ties everything together. Rashi at the top, he quotes the text, Chesuri Mechsor V'Hochi Kotoni, upgraded text like we have in our Gemara. Amr Yossi, Avtumus Heyed Mishum Chamisha Zekenim Esrogacha Lechkita Lemaisachar Chanota Lishvias, Rabbosenu Nimnu Pu'usha V'Gamru Esrogacha Lechkita Bein Lemaiser Bein Lishvias, V'Hochi Pirusha. Now Rashi explains. Esrog achar lekito lemaiser. You look at the time of picking regarding tithes leinian chodosh v'yoshan unin shnia nichnesis leshlishis or shlishis lerevius. Regarding those aspects of meiser, in other words, chodosh and yoshan would be an example of year 1 and 2 when there are no changes in the meiser tithe. In year 1 of the 7-year cycle and year 2, likewise, year 4 going into year 5, all that matters, all that the ties that you have is the Meister Rishon and the Meister Sheni. And what Chodosh and Yoshin tells us, that you can't tithe from one year to exempt the other year. And as far as Shnia going into the second going into the third year, or third going into the fourth, there you have a change in Meister from you have a Meister Oni versus a Meister Sheni in those cases. So in order to determine those halachas, we look at the time that it's picked. The achar chanota l'shvias. However, when Shemitah becomes a concern, then we look at the time that it blossoms. Bein lehefker, which would result in, if it's hefker, it's unowned, it will result in tithing exemption. Bein lebi'ur, whether it concerns the matter of getting rid of it from storage. If you have Shemitah stuff, you look at when did it blossom. Kishar Ilonos, as we treat all other trees, where we look at, we emphasize the blossom time. Ubas Shvias HaNichneses L'Shminis, in the case of 7th year going into 8th, Hefkerahu, it's Hefker, Hefkera, the unowned aspect, Potra Min HaMaiser. Here, when you're going from 7th into 8th, and you have Shemitah rules that are of concern, so we look at the time it blossomed in the 7th year, therefore it's considered Shemitah, it's considered unowned, and as such, it's potter from Meiser, the Ilulinyan Meiser, Mishashnei Shvua, also Berabonan Vosser Lakita, the Gabi Chodosh, V'Yoshinu, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Oni. As far as other years are concerned, as we described earlier, there you look at the time that it's picked. Mishum de darku li godel al kol mayim kiyer, because the nature of the esrog is it requires constant watering. This is makes it different from other trees that use the rainwater for their sustenance. Esrog trees require watering like vegetables up till the point that they're harvested. V'hochi meforsh b'shmeitze k'maitze kedushin, aval sh'ar dvorav shavu l'inyan basur chanota. With regard to other matters, other than the list we just mentioned, of chodosh yoshin, maiser sheni, maiser oni, we look at the blossoming time. V'rab of Rav Hamnuna, sevira lehu, ke'avtumus. Rav and Rav Hamnuna follow Avtumus's approach, the Omar, Boser Chanota L'Shvias. Avtumus said that when it comes to Shemitah matters, we look at the time that it blossoms. Hilkoch Bashvias Shenifneses L'Shminis, therefore in that case, you have a Shemitah year in the picture, we look at the blossoming time, Chayeves B'Biur, making it obligated in Biur, and that's what they had said, Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. Remember, it was on that point that the Tanaic source on Omid Aleph was brought in to challenge them. Well, they've got Avtumus upon whom to rely for their Biur obligation. Ubas Shishis Hanichneses L'Shvias. The case of sixth year going into seventh year, Ptura Min HaBiur, it's exempt from Bior, the Ozil, Boser, Chanota. You look at the time that it blossomed. And again, when you're dealing with Shemitah-related matters, and Bior is a Shemitah-related halacha, you look at the blossoming time, and it blossomed in the sixth year. No Bior requirement. Remember, there was a machlokis between Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. Umiflik pligi Rabba v Rav Hamnuna, b'milsei daftumus b'ho. Rabba and Rav Hamnuna have a machlokes within the opinion of Avtumus regarding the following. Rav Hamnuna sovar, kevon de ptura min habior, chayeves b'meiser. Since it's exempt from biur, so you have to tithe it. If it's exempt from biur, it means it's a non-shmita thing. If it's non-shmita, so you must tithe it. Talav hefgera de malkuhi. It's a sixth year item, and it hasn't been declared unknown by the Malka, by the king, by the Almighty, the King of Kings. The Rabba Sovar, Rabba, however, looks at things differently. He says, Soif, Soif, there's a de facto hefker, a de facto unowned element here. Sof, Sof, at the end of the day, Yad Hakul Mimashmishin. The public is handling it, is picking from it. I didn't put little fences around the Esrogan tree by themselves to separate them from the rest of the produce. Again, we're dealing with 6th into 7th year. 7th year, everyone is entering my fields and my groves. Avtumus would agree with me that in such a case, it would be exempt from Maestris, as if it were Hefker, even though it's not Hefkera de Malka. So hopefully, with the Rashi having been learned, we can then, one would be able to go back to Rabba and Rav Hamnuna. With regard to Rabba and Rav Hamnuna, their halachas regarding 7th into 8th year, when Shemitah was a consideration, you simply look at the time of Chanota, and it's totally understandable why there's exemption from Meiser and it's obligated in the Bior. As far as 6th going into 7th year, and that tells us to look at the, once again, you look at the Chanota, because Avtumus said that when it comes to the rules of Shvias, you look at the Chanota time. So we understand why there is a Bior exemption, it's Potter from Bior. There was a technical machlokes, or a one-point machlokes, between Rabba and Rav Hamnuna regarding the 6th into 7th year and the rule of Maestris. What would Avtumus have said about Maestris? So according to Rabba, there is the de facto hefker element, making it exempt from Maestris. Rav Hamnuna says it's chayiv in Maestris in that case of 6th into 7th year, because it wasn't hefkera de Malka, and therefore chayev in Maestris. Now there was a brief, a bracketed section that we skipped, so just for the sake of of completion. Let's go back and read that. We're going back four lines from the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Avtumus testified in the name of five Zekanim, Esrog Achar Lekitoso Lemaiser, in order to determine the Meiser rules, the Chodosh Yoshan, is it Meiser Sheni, Meiser Oni? You look at the time that it's picked, and we explained before that's because Esrogim grow based on all the water that they can get, that they're watered like vegetables up to the point that they're harvested in vegetables. Halochas are determined by Shas Lakita, so to the Esrog. That's regarding Maisrus. For Abuseinu Nimnu Be'usha, the Amru, and the rabbis in Usha voted and decided Achar Lakitoso. You emphasize the picking time, Bein Lemaiser, Bein Lashvias. See, now here you have a first opinion, and then the Rabboseinu opinion. The Rabboseinu introduced a point that the first opinion made no mention of, and this arouses the Gemara's objection. Shvias man dekar shmei. The issue of Shvias that the Rabboseinu referred to, who made any mention of it? In other words, what motivated the Rabboseinu to talk, to vote on, or to take a stand on Shvias when there was no mention made of it beforehand? So, man dekar shmei, who made any mention of Shvias? Therefore, chisurei mechaser v'hochi kotoni, therefore it was necessary to reread the Reisha, the first opinion, as also having made reference to Shvias, where that opinion said that Shvias is based on blossoming time, and on that point the Rabboseinu held differently, that even regarding Shvias, you emphasize the harvesting, the Lakita time. We continue with the Gemara four lines from the top. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, and we've written Oid Binyone Esrog Shishis Nichneses Lishvias. More regarding the topic of the Esrog of the sixth year going into the seventh year. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Amitrai, they both say Esrog Bas Shishis Shenifnesa Lishvias L'Oilom Shishis. That means the sixth year going into seventh year, blossoming in sixth, picked in seventh, will have the rules of a sixth year Esrog. That means, practically speaking, it will be Chayav in Meiser and Potter from Bior. Now, that is something that we took from the Rashi, which is reflective of Rav Hamnuna's approach that we had in our previous Omid, where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are not placing any premium or emphasis on the fact that there's a de facto hefker of Yad HaKol Mimash Mishinbo. But again, that explanation is taken from, based on the fact that Rashi says, L'olam Shishis, meaning it's Chayev and Meiser. He also, Ravin Om Rav Yochanan, Esrog Bas Shishis Shenichnesa L'Shvias, regarding that same case of sixth going into seventh year, afilu kezayas, even if in the sixth year it grew only to the size of an olive, vinasis, kikar, and by the seventh year it turned into a large loaf, in other words, it became much larger, the bulk of its growth taking place in the seventh year, chayovin oleo mishum tevel. If one would eat it untithed, he would be guilty of eating tevel. Tevel is that which is untithed, which carries with it a very serious punishment. Misa bidei shamayim. What's the point here? Is that even though the mass growth took place during the Shemitah year, still we look at the time that it blossomed. And that was in the sixth year, requiring it to be tithed. Tanu Rabbanon, Ilon Shechontu Peirosov, a tree whose fruit blossomed, Koidim Tu B'Shvat, Nisasir L'Shana She'avra. It will have the type of Meiser tithes of the previous year. Achar Tu B'Shvat, Nisasir L'Shana Haba, if it blossomed after Tu B'Shvat, so it will have the Meiser requirements of the new year. Omer of Nechemya, Bamed Vamomurim, Beilon, Sha'oise, and we skip the brackets momentarily, Ke'ein Shte Brechos. This applies that, in other words, that we look at Tu B'Shvat as we just did, as the new year, this applies to trees that produce fruits at different times during the year. In other words, that we look at the Hanota time, the cutoff point, so to speak, based on the Hanota of before Tu B'Shvat and after Tu B'Shvat, that applies to trees whose fruits ripen at different times. In other words, they don't ripen all at once. This is true with regard to the fig tree. Aval ilon ha'oise brecho achas, but trees that produce one crop. And in other words, the fruit of the tree ripens more or less at the same time. All of its fruit ripen more or less at the same time. Kegoin dekolim v'zeisim v'charuvim, names of different varieties of fruits. Afal pi shechontu perosehim kodem tu b'shvat, even though they may have blossomed before the 15th of Shvat, misasrin l'shona haba, they will be based, their tithe will be based on the current year, meaning when they are picked. So that one might say that Tu B'Shvat is a determining factor as far as the Chanota being a determining factor based on Tu B'Shvat is a convenient unifying date for the purpose of trees that produce crops at different times, that produce their fruit at different times, and as their fruit ripens at different times. However, as the source said, fruit that ripens all at once, that those kinds of trees, so you simply look at the time they are picked in order to determine what miser you're going to tithe. We had a bracketed line that we skipped, and it's because that the original language of the source was inaccurate. It used say grammatically or etymologically speaking inaccurate. The source read originally after Reb Nechemia says "Bamedvorm beilon shoyse shtei brechois b'shona." The Tu B'Shvat Chanota determining point is for a tree that produces two brechos a year. The word brecha is a term that used for birds and their offspring. Shtei brechos al kedaitach. What, the tree produces brechos? Elohim ke'ein shtei brechos. Like two sets of brechos that birds would lay. But it's simply an analogy. It's not actually two brechos. As we said, the brecha is something that's a loshon expression that's applicable to birds specifically. So what we're trying to describe are just like birds lay eggs on an ongoing basis, so too a tree that produces fruits on an ongoing basis, like is the case of the fig tree. So there we use the Chanota standard, i.e. before or after Shavat. However, other kinds of trees that are not like that, the fruits ripen at one time. They have their specific season for ripening. You look at the time, the year in which they are picked in order to determine the Miser rules. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. We should note this is a Hemshech, a continuation. Diyun b'shitas Rabbi Yochanan. This is a discussion concerning the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. De atzei pri sheperosim nilkatim biyachad boser lekito azlinon. Rabbi Yochanan says that fruit trees whose harvest is at one time, we base the miser, the type of miser, on when you pick it. So we'll read the couple lines of Gemara, and then we'll continue with our introductory notes, the structural note, shortly. The Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Noagu ha'om b'charuvin k'Rebbi Nechemya. The public practiced, adopted as their custom to go Basar Lakita, like Rabbi Nechemya. That means that in order to determine the Meiser year, you look at when it is picked. Eisvei Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish raises an objection from a Tanaic source. B'nois shuach is a type of fruit. Shvius shelahen, their shmita. Now we have to add the situation he's dealing with is are these b'nois shuach fruits that blossomed in the shmita year. They blossomed in the shmita year. You know when you're going to observe the Shemitah rules regarding these Benos Shuach? Shnia, in the second year of the Shemitah cycle. Mipnei she'oisois l'sholosh shonim. They produce fruits once every 3 years. So that if they produce fruits once every 3 years, in the case that they blossomed in Shemitah, they're going to be ready for eating, Shemitah being considered their first of 3 years, the next year is their second year, and the year after that, which is the second year of the Shemitah cycle, is their third year. And when you are picking them, you're going to have to observe the rules of Shemitah. What does that show us? That shows us that we determine the identity of the fruit based on Chanota. Now, what did Rabbi Yochanan say just a few lines up? We have little arrows pointing to the write-ins that we wrote in between the lines. Rabbi Yochanan had us believing that you go Basar Lakita. And here you have a Tanaic source that says you look at the Chanota. Ishtik. So Rabbi Yochanan remained silent. Omar Le Rabbi Abba HaKoyin, Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin. I don't recall an interchange between two Rabbonim that are referred to as HaKoyin any other place. Maybe there are, but it's interesting to note these two Koyhanim, Abba HaKoyin, speaking to Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin, and they give and take discussion ensues. Before we get involved with that, just noting the structure on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, Acharei Shereish Lakish Hiksho al Rabbi Yochanan. After Reish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yochanan, so it said Ishtik, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan remained silent. The Ma'akav, the triangle here, represents a give and take discussion. Ma'akav is the attempt to keep track. Kushios, the triangle with the point facing up, represent questions. Lomo Ishtik, velo Heshiv. Why did he remain silent and not respond? And what the Gemara then gives is gives several suggestions. What he could have answered. The inverted triangle, Chuvos, Lomo Ishtik, will explain after we see the suggested answers he could have given why he didn't give them. Chuvos, Lomo Ishtik, Velo Heshiv Chuvos. Why did he remain silent, not give the answers that are suggested? We'll be using a double underline to highlight the expression lame ole, which are the suggestions. Why doesn't he say Hatzos l'tshuvos Rabbi Yochanan l'fi hamakshin hoya yochol l'hashiv? These are suggestions according to the questioner of what Rabbi Yochanan could have answered. So, again, Rabbi Yochanan originally ruled that in determining fruit identity, you look at the time of harvesting. According to the Tanaic source, the fruit identity, identity means halachic identity, is based on the blossoming time. What is Rabbi Yochanan to do with that? Well, he remained silent. Omar le Rabbi Abba, we're back in the Gemara at the first triangle. Omar le Rabbi Abba HaKoyin, the Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin. Amai Ishtik, why did Rabbi Yochanan remain silent? Le mole, he could have said, Amino loch ano Rabbi Nechemya. He could have said to Reish Lakish, listen, I gave you the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, who says you look at the picking time, V'at amrisli rabbonon, and you are responding to me the opinion of other tanoim, of the opinion of the rabbonon. So it's apples and oranges, so to speak, and I gave you one opinion, you're trying to ask on me from another opinion. That's not a question, there's a machlokas, there are two different opinions. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan simply say that? Well, the Gemara tells you why he didn't say that. Mishum di omale, because Reish Lakish would have told him, Shavkis Rabbonon v'Abdis k'Rabbi Nechemya. Shavkis means you leave aside or you abandon the Rabbonon and choose to follow the opinion of a singular rabbi, the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. So it wouldn't have been to Rabbi Yochanan's advantage to say, well, I'm giving you Rabbi Nechemya's opinion, which indicates that he follows that when that's a minority opinion. Another suggestion, though, v'lei molei, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say to Reish Lakish, ko'amino loch nohagu, I was reporting to you the minhag, the custom of the people, v'at amrisli isura, and you're telling me that which is, we'll call letter of the law, that which is usur or mutter. Isura represents letter of the law. I'm telling you what the custom is, and you're telling me, and you're answering me from, or you're asking on me from that which is the bottom line. Well, of course, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have said that. The Amalei, because Reish Lakish would have said right back to him, B'mokom Isura ki nohagu shavkinon lehu, where there's a specific ruling telling you something, black and white terms, something is usur, something is mutter, but you're going to let them continue their minhag, you're going to let them continuing a practice that's against a stated law. So, of course, Rabbi Yochanan isn't going to say that, oh, I was simply telling you the practice in a case that the practice is going against a stated law. Well, all right, v'lei molei, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say back, ki amino loch ano meiser charuvin de rabbonan? Well, I was talking about the laws regarding tithing charuv trees, charuv fruits, which is purely rabbinic in nature. And since it's rabbinic in nature, they can tell you when to determine the identity, the meiser identity of things that don't have any Torah-level requirement to begin with. So then they decided that in order to determine the identity of the charuvin vis-a-vis meiser, you look at the time that they're harvested. V'at amrisli shvias d'oraisa, and you're asking on me a question concerning, from a source that deals with Shemitah, which is a d'oraisa halacha, realm of d'oraisa obligation. So when you're dealing with something that's the realm of d'oraisa obligation, it has a different standard that's quite reasonable. So couldn't Rabbi Yochanan have simply said that back to Reish Lakish? Why does the Gemara repeat that he remained silent? Elo Oma Rabbi Abba HaKoyen Temihani. We'll skip the bracketed section. That's not the loshon in the bracket is not accurate. The Gemara will point that out. So, but first the real response. Rabbi Abba HaKoyen says, I would be amazed im kibla Rabbi Yochanan im loy kibla. Let's glance at the Rashi. Im kibla. Did he even accept the question? Behind the ishtik, the silence that was reported, mishum de lo yoda lahashiv, is it the silence because he didn't know what to answer? Im lo kibla, or he didn't accept it, or his silence is a function of his simply being unconcerned with the question. That they simply are incomparable. You cannot compare them. The case of Meiser of Peiros Ilan, tithing from fruit trees other than wine and olive oil, is purely rabbinic. So that I'm not going to adopt the stringencies that I would to something that is like Shavuos, which is Doraisa. So that's what Rabbi Abba's reaction, that's what is not clear, so to speak, in Rabbi Yochanan's silence. So once again, it's true that Rabbi Yochanan had reported that Noagu Ha'om B'Charuvim K'Rabbi Nechemya, and Reish Lakish had raised an objection to that from the case of the Menoshuach and the Dinim of Shemitah, and Rabbi Yochanan kept quiet. So Rabbi Abba HaKoyin says the silence of when Rabbi Abba originally said, why did he keep quiet? He's really saying, Rabbi Abba was really saying, I don't know why he kept quiet. Did he keep quiet because he had no answer? Or did he keep quiet because there was no question in the first place and he had no need to answer? The bracketed section that we just skipped, well, let's now read it. Ella Omar Rabbi Abba Koyin. By the way, this is in effect a second version of Rabbi Abba HaKoyin. The first version had Rabbi Abba HaKoyin raising a question of why did he keep quiet. This version of Rabbi Abba HaKoyin has him wondering what the ishtik represented. Not like the first version of why did he keep quiet, but rather it's a doubt of what was the reason for his silence. Was it because he really didn't have an answer, or because there was no question in the first place? The bracketed section, let's read it now, four lines from the bottom. Elo Omar Rabbi Abba HaKoyin, Temihani Im Heshiva Reish Lakish L'tshuva Zu. I am wondering whether Reish Lakish ever asked the question. So the Gemara says with a tone of wonderment, Im Heshiva, if he asked the question, Ha Oisva, of course he asked the question. So what is your Tmiha about? Elo Emo Im Kibla, Rabbi Yochanan Im Lo Kibla. I am wondering whether Rabbi Yochanan ever accepted the question in the first place and didn't know how to answer it, or whether he dismissed the question outright in the first place. Before we conclude our shiur for today, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially regarding access to marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.